Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Mary was a 17-year-old senior in high school. She loved theater and poetry. She was funny and a good friend. Mary's one flaw was that she had a thing for bad boys, like greased back hair, a leather jacket with a comb in the pocket, and a hit song called Greased Lightning. And that is the wrong story. Matthew was honestly the first guy to really notice Mary, the first guy to give her attention, and the first guy to say the three words every teenage girl longs to hear from a boy. Backstreet's back. All right. No, he was the first guy to say the three words that every teenage girl longs to hear from a boy. I love you. Mary was artistic, got good grades. She could really be proud of her achievements. But as her relationship with bad boy Matthew continued, Mary began to change. She found herself fighting with her parents more and hanging out with friends less. Turns out that Matthew didn't like crowds, so he began to pull Mary away from the people that loved her the most. Ironically, antisocial Matthew had a group of his own, a gang. And soon, Mary would be introduced to excessive drinking, drugs, and gang violence. Mary's parents pleaded with her to let this lifestyle go, to let this guy go. And she thought about it, like, what if I do leave him? But every time she tried, Matthew would come back with, but baby, I love you, you know I love you, and you can't live without me, and if you leave me, I'll kill myself and it will be your fault. She was stuck. Matthew got angrier with time. His I love yous turned to verbal abuse. The gang violence became even more extreme. There was a night that Mary found herself sitting in the getaway car as a lookout while Matthew and his gang went into the house to beat up a guy. And then Matthew got Mary pregnant. She had no support system. Her friends didn't want to listen to who she had become. They didn't want to see her. She couldn't take it to her friends or her parents because they would remind her of her failures. So she took it to Matthew, who demanded an abortion. So Mary, now confused and terrified, drove herself to the abortion clinic while Matthew napped in the seat next to her. Graduation day came and Mary was done. She was going to leave Matthew. Matthew would call Mary, pleading with her to please come back to me. But his pleads turned to anger, and his anger turned to threats. And Mary knew the only thing that she could do was move away for college. So she did. She started a new life and began to love the new life she was living. One day, some friends of hers invited her to go to a party off campus. She went and she met a guy there. They kind of hit it off. He was funny, made her laugh, and that was a change. But then, after way too much to drink, Mary slept with him. Instant regret. And after a few weeks of waiting, she took a test that confirmed her biggest fear. Pregnant. Once again, Mary found herself in this familiar place of loneliness and fear. She will have to have the same conversation, but this time with a complete stranger, that he is the father of her child. She told him. And he called her a liar and denied her unborn baby. So Mary moved on. She actually moved home, where her sister convinced her that she needed to get an abortion. And so once again, Mary found herself driving down the same road to the same abortion clinic she had been at a year and a half earlier. Terrified and in utter disbelief of her circumstances, Mary regretfully laid on the cold metal table and waited for the doctor to begin the procedure, asking herself, how did I get here again? I'm sure we've all asked ourselves that question, right? How did I get here? How do I always find the slimiest guys or the craziest girls? How did I get here again? Why do I always end up in a job that I hate? What was I thinking? Why did God allow this to happen to me? Why am I always taken advantage of? Why don't I deserve anything good? How do I always end up with people that hurt me? We're going to talk about that today. If you have siblings, you know that your parents have a favorite child. If you were unaware of this, that probably means that you're the favorite child. And if you just had that realization, you should probably keep it to yourself, because us non-favorites are not very happy with you right now. So, there's this guy named Joseph in the Bible, and we come to his story as a teenager. Joseph has a lot of siblings. I mean, depending on your age, you may be familiar with his family. From the 1998 hit musical starring Donny Osmond, Mom, This Is For You, Joseph, an amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Children, you need to go home and watch this movie today. It'll change your life. Those of you who have grown up under a rock and are unaware of this phenomenon, I want you to know there's nothing wrong with me. I just really appreciate musical adaptations of Bible stories. That's all. Anywho, we learn that Joseph is a dreamer. He had vivid dreams that were actually visions of the things that God would do with his life in the future. One of those dreams was that his brothers would bow down to him. So he shares this story with his brothers, and this drove them up the wall. He's thinking, this kid is crazy. They think he's crazy. All he does is talk nonsense. So Joseph wasn't super appreciated by his siblings, but his father adored him. He was his father's favorite son. One day, Joseph's father, named Jacob, wanted to show Joseph his love for him. So he designed him a very fashionable jacket to wear. You favorite children, remember when your dad made you a coat? Remember? Sweater vest? Okay, maybe not. So the brothers were fed up. They're sick of this kid. When they saw this jacket, they were furious. So that day, they called Joseph to a field. They beat him up, took his jacket, and pushed him into a pit. Then some foreigners were passing by, the Ishmaelites, and one of his brothers was like, hey guys, I have a good idea. How about we sell our brother instead of killing him? We'll sell him for like $400. And they sold him. For 400 bucks, they sold their brother into slavery. So, Joseph is bought by these foreign people, and then they sell him again to this guy named Potiphar. Now, this is when Joseph's story gets kind of crazy, because Potiphar is not just anyone. Potiphar is the head of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt's guard. So now Joseph's like 17, 18 years old, and he's the servant to the head of security of the king of Egypt. Go, 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 Joe. Joseph is winning. He's got all he can eat and more. His job's not that bad. He's a young guy, and although a slave, he's well respected. A very important little tidbit about Joseph: he's hot. Like Zac Efron, Taye Diggs, cover of Israel's Most Beautiful People magazine. He is ridiculously good looking, and everyone noticed, especially Potiphar's wife. She noticed, you know what I'm saying? She noticed. So one day, Joseph goes inside to do his daily chores, and Potiphar's wife is all like, "Hey, JoJo, wanna get jiggy with it?" And he's like, "No, thanks." Then the girl jumps him. Joseph begins to run away, and she rips the coat right off of his back. Joseph doesn't care. He's gone. He's leaving it behind. But this upsets Potiphar's wife so much that she takes the jacket, brings it to her husband, Potiphar, and says, "Joseph tried to jump me." Mm-mm. Potiphar hears this nonsense, and he's so enraged that he throws Joseph in jail for the next 13 years. What the heck? How did he get here? His family betrayed him, took away the one good thing he had, which was the love of his father. They sold him to bad guys who sold him to Potiphar, who had a sex-addicted wife whose embarrassment caused her to lie, and now he's here. Life taken from him. Incarcerated for the mistakes and careless actions of others. Joseph had every right to ask God, "How did I get here?" Joseph did everything right in his life, but he still got the short end of the stick. Maybe you've been there. Feel imprisoned by your circumstances. People who are supposed to love you have hurt you. You feel unheard by God or unseen by others. "I've endured so much pain. I'm so broken." Maybe you feel unimportant or unnecessary. And you wonder, "How did I get here?" Or, "How did I get here again?" Joseph's story didn't end there. Remember those annoying dreams he was telling his brothers about? Turns out Joseph actually had a gift for reading the meanings of dreams. Now, after 13 years, Egypt has a new pharaoh, and this new guy is having some crazy dreams. So word got out to Pharaoh that there's this guy in prison named Joseph, and he is actually really good at reading dreams. So for the first time in 13 years, Joseph was called out of jail to meet with the pharaoh. After that moment, Joseph's past no longer mattered. He ends up back on the royal team and eventually became Pharaoh's number two, like the vice president of Egypt, fulfilling a dream he had had back when he was 17 years old. He helped rule Egypt. And in fact, there was a famine, and Joseph, after successfully interpreting Pharaoh's dream, creates a strategy to make sure that the people don't run out of food. Everything horrible that had happened throughout his life had led him to this position and saving the lives of a nation. The famine went far beyond Egypt. People came from all around to get food from Joseph. Then something really cool happens. Another one of Joseph's childhood dreams came true. We're going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 42. If you don't have an easy to read Bible, we give away Bibles for free back at the Velcro Bar. You're welcome to one. Grab it, take it, run, bam, got it. But otherwise, we're going to put the verses up here on the screen for you. So Genesis 42, verse 6. Since Joseph was governor of all of Egypt and in charge of selling grain to the people, it was to him that his brothers came. When they arrived, they bowed before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph recognizes his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where are you from?" he demanded. "From the land of Canaan," they replied. "We have come to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. And he remembered the dreams he had had about them many years before. This is Joseph's chance for revenge. He's the second most powerful man in all the land. He has the power to end their lives, and he should, right? They took everything from him. The love of his father, his good life, his freedom. Genesis 50:20. This is how Joseph responds. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. In this series, we're looking at parts of the Bible that have a common theme. They're buts. There are all these verses that start with, but God. In those verses, we see that when God is involved, he can totally change our situation. We see in Joseph's story that God can bring good out of bad. Joseph's brothers, Potiphar's wife, they tried to hurt Joseph, but God intended it for good. But God had a better story and a greater destiny for Joseph in mind. And that's a really awesome story, right? Everything in Joseph's life looked as if God had abandoned him, as if there was no future for him or only suffering for him. If I were in Joseph's shoes, I probably would have given up. Maybe that's the place you're at. God, why am I still dealing with addiction? Why did I lose my child? Why were my parents abusive? Why did my dad leave? Why was school so hard? Why do I always struggle? Why don't I deserve happiness? Why did you abandon me? I started asking those stories very early in my life. At the age of 3, my grandfather began to inappropriately touch me. The abuse continued into my teens and spawned a lifetime of suffering the repercussions of sexual abuse. At age 8, I was introduced to pornography. At age 9, I could identify porn stars the way that most 9-year-old girls could identify a Disney princess. All this led to years of sex addiction, being used and abused by all kinds of men, and growing up to depend on the approval of men to feel any kind of self-worth. Outwardly, I was fine. I learned that humor was a great way to mask sadness. I was deeply unhappy, and I wanted nothing more than to be loved for me. I was obsessed and searching for this kind of love, and I did all kinds of regretful things to find it. I crossed any and every line that ever was. I didn't love myself or understand what love was. I believed I was worthless and the only thing I had to offer was my body. And when I got into my late teens, I found myself enduring the consequences of my mistakes, feeling as if God was punishing me for everything I had ever done in my life. I went to jail. I ruined relationships. I embarrassed my family. I no longer felt human, but worthless and unnecessary. I spent the following years trying to rebuild a resemblance of a life. But every day was a constant reminder of the mistakes I had made, reminded by the law that labeled me, reminded by the people that abandoned me. But God had something else in mind. I spent several painful years living in regret and shame, condemning myself for my mistakes, believing I was no longer good enough for good things. But through my brokenness, I kept my eyes on God. I continued to struggle through addiction and fear. I went back and forth on this belief that maybe my mistakes were too big for God. But I continued pursuing God. With his help, I began to fight the lies I was telling myself and eventually found healing from my brokenness and forgiveness for myself. And I found freedom. Last year, I took over Verve's recovery ministry, Restore. Me, an abused, broken little girl who grew up engulfed in so many addictions, more than she could possibly count. Who became a woman who thought her past was too big for a future. A woman who believed that she would never find happiness or be married. Did it. I believed that I would never find freedom from my past. But God had something else in mind. And it was even greater than I could possibly imagine. God used my shame and emptiness that brought me to thoughts of ending my life as a way for me to relate and love people who are in the same place as I had once been. My past no longer defined me. Every horrible thing that happened throughout my life led me to this but God moment. What happened in your life? Where have you been hurt? Has someone abused you, lied about you, and ruined your name? Has your body betrayed you? Is your spouse no longer with you? Have you experienced loss? Did a coworker take credit for your idea? Did your parents step out on you? Your best friend abandon you when you needed them the most? Did someone cheat on you? Did your kids stop talking to you? Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Your abuser intended to harm you. Your addiction intended to harm you. Your regret intended to harm you. Your fear intended to harm you. Your pain intended to harm you. Your resentment intended to harm you. Your kids intended to harm you. Your loneliness intended to harm you. Your shame intended to harm you, but God intended it for good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Maybe you've worked through this, but maybe you're smack dab in the middle of the mess. You've experienced massive pain in your life. You want to make better choices, but horrible things have happened to you. Honestly, you're just wondering when you're going to get a break. You've had a lifetime of unfair moments and sucky circumstances, and you wonder how anything good could possibly come from it. That may be you. And you may be feeling like you're going to be stuck in this moment forever. Those things intend on continuing to harm you. But God can bring good out of them if you let him. One of the ways you can let him is by coming to Restore every Tuesday night. Restore is a faith-based 12-step recovery ministry for whatever it is you're going through. If you're stuck in the mistakes of your past, if you feel like you're just drowning in life, it's time to turn your mess into a message. Your misery into a ministry. If you're struggling, if you're broken, come to Restore and let's find freedom together. There is nothing too big or too small to be a part of this family. Take a chance on change and allow us to love you right where you're at. Come to Restore and grow into the life that God has for you. Remember Mary? She's literally laying on the table waiting for the doctor to come in and begin the procedure at the abortion clinic. Waiting for the doctor to come in and take another one of her children's lives. The nurse walks in to begin the procedure, and suddenly something comes over Mary. A voice that says, "Get up!" Terrified, she decides to listen, but the nurse fights her, saying, "Ma'am, you're just afraid. The doctor will be right in. Get up!" "I have to leave," Mary says. The nurse grabs Mary's arm and begins to shake her to try to bring her back to reality. "Everything is set up and ready to go. You will do this today." "Mary is my mother, and I am the baby she chose to keep. At age 21, she was a full-time working college student and now mother. Life was not easy for her. She struggled. She could have looked back on her circumstances. She could have looked back on her mistakes and be a victim of the abuse she endured. She could have given up. But God came into her life. But God came into her struggle, into her painful moment, into her darkness, and rescued her from it. My mom, Mary, now runs a clinic for unwed mothers and young couples that have been put into situations to choose whether or not to keep their babies. My mom counsels them and uses her story as a way to help save lives of unborn children and support the people who are where she once was. I couldn't be more proud to have her as my mother. She endured so much, and in spite of horrible circumstances, she loves God and loves people so well. Her bravery makes me brave, and her love makes me love. God came in and changed the entire direction of her life. He gave me life. And that same loving, forgiving, powerful God is available to you. In whatever dark and painful moments you might find yourself in. Remember, God doesn't cause bad things to happen in our lives, but he can bring good out of them if we let him. He can change the direction of your life. He can give you new life. He can turn your scars into something beautiful. There's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. You don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, do you're beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a God of change. Thank you for changing Joseph's life. Thank you for changing Mary's life. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you that there is nothing in our past that can make you love us less, and there's nothing that we could possibly do to make you love us more than you do right now in this moment, God. Thank you for being a God with plans for our lives. Help us trust you. Help us let you give us new life. Thank you for being good even when life doesn't always feel like it. Thank you for loving us in our mess. We love you, God. In your beautiful name I pray. Amen. Thank you.